Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Milan Weekly Podcast channel. On this episode of the Milan Weekly Podcast, well, the Rossoneri traveled to Torino to face Juve in a revenge game for Allegri. We will discuss everything that happened in this game, all the drama, all the disappointment, everything, baby. We're also going to discuss all things Serie A with our FUBU recap coming, and we're going to get you ready for another international break. Are you kidding me? Another one? Jesus Christ. All this and more. But first, you know, if you love us, if you want to be a part of the family and you haven't already, there's one thing you need to do. Please, if you haven't already, subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you're up to date with all the times we're going live. Smash the like button. Leave a comment. Get involved. If you want to support us, find us on all of our socials. It's an audio platform also, but visually, we're a whole nother animal. You got to be here with us on YouTube. And if you want to support the channel, ladies and gentlemen, Patreon is the way to do it. Super chats are open. Super chat things we're going to talk about in just a little bit. It's me filling in for Vinny T today with your boy, Stevie P. Listen, you might be a little disappointed because the result didn't turn out how maybe we wanted. But you can always depend on me and Stevie P to bring the fire, to get everything ready, because Monday nights, we do not disappoint. Stevie, are you ready?
Let's go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Milan Weekly Podcast here, where we speak all things Milan with no BS, a little fandom at times, but we give it to you how you want it, baby, whether you like it or not. Now, while we're not professionals,
nor do we pretend to be,
me, Fabio, joined by, of course, Stevie P, Monday night. This is what we do, baby. Stevie, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling great, guys. Yesterday's game was a little bit of a piss off. I can't say that I'm 100% happy, but I'm feeling great. And just letting everybody know, guys, like, we're live here on YouTube, Facebook. And, you know, I made a mistake. I'm gonna say it. We're live on Instagram, but through Vintage Pitch. So, hey, go have a follow at Vintage Pitch. Not done purposely, guys. I'll tell you the truth. Big mistake, but that's another way you can have a look at Milan Weekly Podcast this week.
That's nice. Again, socials are important, baby. Socials are very important. What's also important, before we get into the show, Super chats are open, ladies and gentlemen, and we have a special thing going on this month. We're trying to hit our goal. If we hit 250 by the end of this month, we're going to have a special Halloween edition, which you're going to see. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what it's going to be, but we got to hit it there, and we're almost there. Stevie, what were we at before? Hold on one sec. I had it up. I think we are at 126, what it is. So we're halfway there. Let's see if we can get us all the way there. We have until October 27th, I think it is. Yes, yes. That's the Monday we're hitting. And if you want to see Stevie P in some outrageous costume, and Vinny too. Vinny, God knows what he's. Macho Man, Hulk Hogan. Who knows what he's going to be? Probably some WWF guy.
Neil Diamond.
Oh, all right. That's not I thought Diamond Dallas Page, baby, you know, but that's neither here nor there. Let's stick to football. And that's what we're calling this episode. Let's be honest here. If we would have spoke about where we were with these expectations going into this game, and you see the lineup, but the lineup again, there's not much to really dissect. Estupiñán is suspended, Batazaghi's in there. We're going with the same lineup that obviously Allegri feels most comfortable with. Leao is not healthy enough to start from the beginning. So you got Jimenez and Pulisic at the front. Midfield's all the same. What were your expectations going into the match, Steve?
I did not think he was going to change anything, so I was not surprised. I'm happy that the kid gets the start at, on the left-hand side for Estupiñán. I think he held his own. I don't think he was very bad. I don't think he made any mistakes. I don't think he really contributed much more than Estupiñán would have done either. Yes, it's a bit of a different dynamic, a different player, but I think the kid held his own, and I think he should get more chances.
I think it's Stupion. If he keeps playing a little idiotically like he's been a little bit, Bartizaghi's going to be given more time. But let's go through the first half here, because I thought the first half was fairly slow. I thought Juve was holding more possession. Clearly see, that was Allegri's tactic. Let them hold on to the ball a little bit, and we'll try to counterattack them. But as the game started to progress, Milan started to grow, especially towards the end of the second half. But let's be honest. We kind of have to – I don't know what's going on with the grass there in Juve. I mean, slipping and sliding, some to our benefit, thank God. But, I mean, there was a couple of moments where, you know, Jonathan David as a Canadian, I don't know. You can't be – I mean, you're happy he doesn't score, but you can't be happy what you're seeing. Am I right there? What was going on with this guy?
Look, I don't know what's going on with Jonathan David. When it's Milan Juve, unfortunately, I have less of a soft spot for the Canadian national striker. The slipping, I think, Fabio, to be very honest with you, it has to do a little bit with these types of the new types of shoes. I think they're lightweight. I think the actual studs might be a little bit shorter depending on what they're wearing. And again, these guys have a budget to change shoes if they want every 20 minutes. So at a certain point, you know, back in the old days, they would have laced up regular cleats. And if the grass was a certain way, they would have changed to six studs, rainy, slick. Now it seems like they need to put on those shoes with the flashy colors. They need to sell Adidas, sell Nike. And we have people slipping and sliding everywhere instead of playing soccer. Look, the first half, was it slow? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think this is what Milan wanted to do, like you said. And we wanted to play on the counter. And for God, whatever reason, we couldn't bury the chances that we had. We couldn't.
No. And we have a substantial amount of chances. Because as I wrote down the key moments that were in the first half, McKennie gets a flick that, thank God, doesn't go anywhere, and everybody basically avoids it. But then it's all our chances, with the exception of one last shot by Kalulu towards the end. We have a great chance by Rabiot, which Rabiot wanted. He blasted his shot and missed the target. But again, a great hard shot. Any Menez has his best opportunity. Two best opportunities. He gets a shot saved, which he again, it seems like he's holding onto the ball too long, but then he gets himself in a good position, and all we're missing is just the finish. Now, the shot, it's a hard shot, but it's right at the keeper. He makes a save. Then Pavlovic! I mean, Bastoni Pavlovic, these guys, they don't want to just be center backs. They want to provide crosses. They want to be in the final third. Pavlovic feels the excitement. He puts in a cross that Jimenez just misses. And maybe if a Giroud is there, he finds the net. But Jimenez, again, two clear chances. And like I mentioned, then Kalulu gets one shot low that I believe is either touched or just off target. That's pretty much it from the first half. But how are your feelings in regards to Jimenez's shot and that header that he has from Popovich's cross?
I think it's a striker who's lacking confidence, and who maybe in the Dutch league, that ends up in the back of the net and he's not thinking twice. But now with Serie A, he's almost overthinking everything. He needs to create on his own, as you can see. Guys, we're not going to discount the effort that he's putting towards, pressing, tracking back. I cannot take that away from him. But at this point in the game, when I see these chances, and I see, I see the shot, which was lackluster, and, the glancing header that, yes, tough cross, but he did get a head on it, and it doesn't go in for him. He's got the yips. We've said it. He's got the yips. He's got to get over it.
Yeah.
But the game was screaming for Rafael Leão. Screaming for Rafael Leão.
Don't make me upset, Rafa. That's all Allegri has. Don't make me upset. And within 3 minutes in the second half, we all collectively held our breath, because Juve had their best chance of the game. The ball falls to Gatti, who's literally point blank how he misses is just insane. But Mike makes a tremendous save. Tremendous save. Again, this is one of the moments that we have when we get to top and flop in just a moment. It's one of the things we have to remember. But again, after that moment, Juve really doesn't have much. There really isn't much to say for Juve. We get, like, immediately after, Jimenez gets pulled down on the foul by Kelly. It's a pen. He gets a yellow card, but no red. Whatever. Did you think it warranted a red? It was a fair, just yellow? I mean, again, last week it was a red.
I said last week, I'm going to say consistent. Last week, Estupiñán was not a red. It was a penalty shot. Let's go. Let's not make the ref dictate the game. This time here, penalty shot, it was not a red. Let's make the ref manage the game and not impact the game. I had no problem with that. Last week, disastrous call. This week, I think the right call. I'm going to just generalize here. So I understand where you are in the point of the game. And for me, this is the frustrating part, right? We have, you know, and Pulisic has to take that PK. And yes, I've said it before. You miss PKs. You don't miss them if you don't take them. You don't score if you don't take them either. So I tip my hat to him for stepping up and being the shot taker. Maybe he should just avoid taking them in Torino because it seems like those are the only places that he misses. Sure,
he's 0-for-2 there. Oh my God!
But Juve didn't do anything, guys. And you know, and the whole day I've been watching this, you know, this propaganda from Gazzetta dello Sport and whatever media set and Tutto Juve, where it was a clash and everybody was even. We were not even. This game was not even. And if Juventini can't come to the realization because they're just blinded. They're blinded by their 37 Scudettos and they can't count. I'm sorry, Fabio. This game was Milan's to win. They dropped 100%. 2 points because we don't have someone who's finishing. We don't have someone who is taking the bull by the horns and saying, you know what, I'm going to score. Yes, Pulisic does his work, but we need a striker. We need someone to finish. And again, I forget the account today was said it great. Guys, Milan with someone who can put the ball behind the net, guys, we're not looking at being at where we are right now. We're looking at the top of the table, full wins, let's go.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. And you know, again, it's tough because the level of disappointment, you saw it in Pulisic's face. This is a player that understands the moment, understands how well he's playing and how big of a miss that was. But there's countless other opportunities, and let's go do them. Because, again, Pulisic is like a madman. You think that happened in the 53rd minute when he actually misses the penalty. He immediately takes the ball and shoots again. A nice low shot. Goalkeeper saves it. Yes, but there's determination there. There's a player who's immediately looking for an opportunity to change what just happened, to make up for the wrong that he just did. Fofana gets a shot that falls to him and he blasted, which, again, Di Gregorio makes a good save. It's fairly at him. There's a bit of a ricochet, but it doesn't lead to anything. Then we start making substitutions. We take out Jimenez, and here comes Leao. This is the point where a lot of people get frustrated because Leao, Pulisic provides him with a great cross. A great cross, which somehow, I think it's Loftus-Cheek, I think it is. It's right in front of him, almost takes the ball, but it correctly falls to Leao. Leao is there at the back post, and all he has to do is just kind of slot it back in, make the goalkeeper make a save, but instead he shoots it just wide and low to the right and completely misses. I mean, the frustration doesn't stop there. He gets another opportunity. Oh my God, man. It's the left foot. Leao is not a great left foot shooter. I mean, he does a lot of great work when he's on the left side, but the left foot is clearly weaker than his right foot. And he has another great opportunity that's right at the end after Modric. This is what we dreamed of when we got Modric, right? That he was going to make these passes to Leao and they were going to find him and Leao was going to bury them. Here was his opportunity, and he shanked it. Stevie, when the field goal kicker misses the football kick, we say it's a shankopotamus, and that's what it was. It was a shank, and it cost us the full 3 points. I mean, just what are your thoughts on Leão, bro, in the second half here?
So yesterday, obviously, really pissed off watching it with the other half of Vintage Pitch Apparel, Nick Bagnoli, and he is a Juventino guy, so he is a realistic Juventino and understanding that this game was Milan's to win, and you know they're going to take that point and they're going to run with it. You know what pisses me off is I today we see, you know, we see Allegri turning to the bench, seeing Ruben Loftus-Cheek, seeing Leão get ready, and Leão is trailing behind, getting ready to be subbed in. And from what we see and what we kind of hear is, like, hurry up, don't make me mad. This is the Leão that bothers me the most, because we're asking you to come into this game. You're not fully fit. You're not match ready. Are you even maybe a little bit injured? I don't know. But there's no excuses, guys. There's no excuses. A player, if you want to be class, I'm not saying world class. It's very far from world class what Leão does. But if you want to be class, you have to come into these games and you have to make an impact, especially against Juve. And, you know, when he's double marked or triple marked or sextupled marked, like from all the Napolitans, I get it. But now here, he had time to run. He had time to move. He had time to get into this game. I feel like he never got into this game. And even when you see the chances, you see that he seemed like he was not ready for it, especially the last one from Modric. It's almost like he wasn't even expecting this ball. You have a world-class midfielder, 40 years old, who just played 90 minutes. Leão, you trot into this game, and for whatever we shit on Jimenez for in terms of how it happens in front of the net, the exact same thing just happened right now to Leão. And you have to equally shit on both of them, and even more so on Leão, because once we took out Jimenez, we lost the pressing ability up top. So now you see at a certain point, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if it's Pulisic or whoever's playing up top with Leão, it's like, guy, come. You got to come. You got to come to my side. If I'm going from right to from left to right, you got to follow me and try to take away that other portion of this press that we're going to try to do. So this is soccer in a nutshell, guys. Right now, I think Leão is a fantastic athlete. I think it's very harsh to say he's trash. I think it's very harsh to say like he's not a talented player. I think he needs some guidance into being a little bit more mature when he comes in these types of moments. And finishing and scoring cures a lot of it. Cures a lot of the negativity that's coming his way these past couple of days.
I agree. That's definitely true. So let's just do quickly top and flop. Who's your top of this game?
Chiedete scuse a Mike Maignan. Guys, that's a world class save from a top keeper. This guy here, we don't give him enough credit. What he does in the back, how he controls his defenders, how he, you know, he's secure when he comes out. Very rarely does he fumble. Again, the injuries is going to be something that, unfortunately, with age, he's not going to get around. Father time always wins. But for me, my top is Mike Maignan, just because we didn't get the result. And unfortunately, this is the game changer. And this is what skews the balance of what happened in this game. Because the best chance kind of came from Juve, but we flambéed 2-3 chances that could have made this 3-0, and it would have been a completely different podcast.
Absolutely. I think Mike is probably the consensus of top. I mean, you can slot in most of the defenders. Thought the defenders did pretty good. Gabbia, Tomori, and Pavlovich all look pretty good. Flop, though, flop is where it can be a little bit of a debate. So I'm going to say it's hard not to give it to Leao. But I just want to preface that by saying this thing. I felt everybody was slightly off. With the exception of the defense and the Mike, I felt everybody had a few errant passes in them this game. Maybe the moment, the environment, the grass, the cleats, the whole environment in the first half. There were a lot of mistakes, a lot of errant passes, putting themselves into trouble. But the majority of the defense cleaned everything up. Bartezaghi had a decent game, despite having to play against some pretty strong people. It's hard to really find a flop, except if you go with Pulisic or Leao. And my guess, Leao, too many chances. Pulisic would have made up for his mistake with that cross to you. You needed to have buried it. You played 25 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it was. You needed to do better. Who's your flop?
Again, my flop, guys, I have to give it to I have to give it to Jimenez, guys. It hurts me to say it, but you start the game, you're trying. It's just I'm getting a little bit annoyed now about the small stuff. Like if scoring is not working for you, well, be that point man for us to, stretch the field. And we're not going to be able to play out of the back all the time, especially when the teams have realized that it's Pavlovich the weak link, and they flood the opposite side, and it's almost like I was talking with my son watching the game. They actually leave Pavlovich alone when he has the ball. They don't even want to mark him because he's not very good with ball at foot. His long ball is a hit and a miss. His short game is very average, weak at average at best. So defensively and the physicality is there, but offensively, once you get that and you're punting balls up the field, you need someone to take that ball down with a proper first touch. And now we're talking about million-dollar athletes that can't stop a ball because Jimenez's first touch is absolutely horrendous. And because of that, I need to give him the flop. And it's not to take away what he does on the pressing side. He runs like a dog. But now he needs to start becoming a little bit more intelligent on what he can do to help himself out. Like, if you don't score in this game, but you provide two assists, I'm not giving you the flop of the match. But you're not scoring, you're not providing assists, you're not getting in dangerous positions, and you're starting this game now? Guys, I have to be very transparent with you guys and brutally honest. Never in my life, in my life, what I have thought that I would watch a Juve Milan in the year 2025, where the two starting strikers were CONCACAF strikers, one from Canada and one from Mexico.
And an American as well. We had all three represented.
The American, he gets a pass. He gets a pass.
Right. So, guys, this is the part where we ask you now. Who do you feel most disappointed in? Is it Pulisic missing the penalty? Is it Leao's chances he's going to finish? Is it Jimenez again not coming through, finding the back of the net? That's what we want to know. Please leave your comments in the chat. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. Let's get those horns ready. Let's go. This segment is brought to you by FUBU Canada, the home for City A. And all things footy that you want, baby. You can even listen to Serie A in Italian. All right, match day six, first game of the week. Udinese and my favorite team, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. They tied 1-1. Bologna hosted Pisa and just ransacked them 4-0. And the big game that we're going to talk a little bit here, Fiorentina hosting Roma, and Gasparini's Roma gets the victory, giving Padre Pioli another loss. Still winless in the first 6 weeks for Fiorentina. Steve, thoughts on this game and Padre Pioli's status as Fiorentina's skipper?
Look, game was a good game. It was a good game. I'm surprised. Fiorentina came out pretty strong. I think they, you know, they wanted to make a statement at home. In the end, you know, it's Roma's class that wins this game, right? Pioli has this all wrong. This team looks a little bit dysfunctional. Moise Kean, if he doesn't create himself, doesn't seem to be getting a lot, tons of service. Reminds you of some other striker that we have. But Pioli needs to figure this out, because se no, il panettone non lo mangia, signore Pioli.
I don't think he's going to, honestly. It's not looking good for Padre Pioli. But you know what it's looking good for? Conte finding a way, Napoli, despite...
Ma che cacata, che cacata, Fabio. Che cacata, che culo this Napoli has. What an ass, what a horseshoe. A freaking horseshoe. Genoa takes the lead. I watched this game. Genoa takes the lead. We had a situation where we've sent someone from Vintage Pitch. We're not going to name any names, Nick. We sent him somewhere to a Napolitan household dressed in a Juve jersey. And that was Scaramanzia. You understand? Like, the gentleman and the family of this this Napolitan family almost basically kicked him out of the house. And as soon as they kicked him out of the house, he had to stay for a couple of 45 minutes more. And we would have got a result. But no, Nick left. And Napoli pulls this out of the day. Napoli, okay, they will get from Manchester United, okay, because Manchester United has a shit ton of money and they don't know what to do with it anymore. And you can also watch the EPL on Fubo, so I feel like I can talk about Manchester United. Manchester United will send Napoli the biggest, I don't know, fish and chip bowl, because that's all they do in England. That's all they know how to eat. They eat like crap. They'll send them a fish and chip, maybe with a bit of bacala, maybe with a bit of something, to Naples, because they have super inflated the Holland price tag again, because he scores the winner.
Hey, and what a winner it is. First goal by Anguissa, second goal by Holland, and Napoli takes another valuable 3 points. See, they do not slip up. Well, obviously, Milan-Juve ends in 0-0. Let's go to the other games. Earlier in the match, well, obviously, Verona hosting Sassuolo. Sassuolo gets the victory, 1-0 there. And then for Leban Youssef, we, of course, got this game, Lazio-Torino, 3-3. What a goal fest. Let's talk about this one for a second, Stevie.
Your thoughts, guys, on Lazio here. Big, big shout-out to my buddy. He's a buddy here from the East End, Biagio. He's a Lazio fan, Lazio Club Montreal. He goes live on, he's a youngster, so he goes live on everything, YouTube, TikTok, so on and so forth. We're going to be doing something special with him and Vintage Pitch, so I want to give him a shout out. This was one that fluctuates his heart rate, let me tell you that much, because this Lazio is frustrating. They, you know, by almost the skin of their teeth, pulled out a draw. And ruined the Cancellieri first half brace against the Torino. That seems like they have more holes than Nashkula Pasta.
Oh, man. Lazio, again, a valuable point there. Looked like they were going to lose all three. Parma hosting Lecce, and Lecce comes through with the victory, 1-0 here. The other two big games, this is the games we're going to talk about. Now, of course, you got to give them due when they put four on Cremonese. Unfortunately, Cremonese didn't decide to be a world beater. I guess that only happens after week one. But Inter wins 4-1 here. any thoughts on Inter just taking care of business against Cremonese?
Seems like the machine is starting to oil up a bit at Inter, and Kivu starting to get them playing a little bit more organized. But you know, I would have thought Milan would have taken care of business against Cremonese like Inter just did. This is the result that you would expect, especially from Inter when it's against Cremonese. They're going to put in goals.
And last game to talk about, Atalanta hosting Como. And Como, again, they're hanging around. They're hanging around here again. They're not really pulling many victories. Atalanta, too, they're both kind of fluctuating here, 1-1. Any thoughts on this last game?
Yeah, so this game was an interesting one. I liked the atmosphere at Atalanta Stadium for this Como match. You know, Como doesn't come off as a smaller team. Because of the pedigree that they have. So, Como has a problem. It seems like they get down a lot and then need to come back into this game. And for this game here, Como gets back into it by sheer luck.
19th minute, too.
Yeah, early, Peroni, the best beer in the world, he put in a cross. And that cross hit the 7 of Atalanta's net and went inside the net. They had to use the Hawkeye to make sure that it went in, and it did, but that's the only way Como gets back into it. I think Atalanta recognized Nico Paz's talent, and they played him off the pitch. Didn't do much there. For Atalanta, missed chances after missed chances after missed chances. Or it's Lookman, or it's my Fanta Calcio striker, Sulman. And it's just miss after miss. No CDK, I think, still injured. Scamacca injured.
Injuries.
Atalanta's dealing with a lot of injuries. So this 1 point, I think, was a fair result. I think Atalanta, of the two teams, should have taken 3 points.
Maybe a little bit of tired legs, too, coming off the Champions League game midweek, too. But let's look at the standings now. Napoli back at the top, like usual, as it was before, with Roma tied at 15 points. Milan dropped to third now with 13 points. Inter in fourth with 12 points, tied with Juve in fifth. Atalanta now in sixth with 10 points. Bologna tied with them. Como right there in eight. Sassuolo and down. And still the bottom. Verona now with 3 points. Genoa 2. Pisa bottom of the table at the moment. Only 6 weeks. Still so much to go. But do you find any sort of comfort in at least seeing Milan there back in the top four so far?
After Cremonese's the start to Cremonese, I think Milan is my surprise at being that high. Especially with the schedule that we had leading into the international break. I didn't feel too comfortable.
Did I freeze or did Steve freeze?
We're still on?
Yes, we're still here. Yeah, I didn't know if you froze or no, I froze.
We both went. We both had the circle of death. Again, like I was saying, just to repeat, I didn't feel too comfortable against Naples. I thought that they were going to give us a harder time than they were. I really feel bad, and it's a pity for Juventus. I think we should have got 3 points. I think, you know, in the chat I saw earlier, 4 points out of six. Yeah, I'm going to take it, but not with the match that we played against the Juve. The quality of the Juve that we... That we played yesterday, I wanted 6 points, and I wanted to be up top at 15 with Napoli and Roma.
I agree. All right, baby, that was the FUBU segment. All right, that segment was brought to you by FUBU Canada. Go subscribe, go follow them, and tell them MWP sent you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now let's keep it moving here, Stevie. I wish there was another game coming that we could talk about. But, of course, here comes another international break. I mean, is there a reason we have to have this? It feels like we get 3 or 4 weeks and then here's another one. It's such a stop and go, stop and go, stop and go to the beginning of the season. Very frustrating.
Yeah, very frustrating, you know, and it's this year, it would be the year we would say, you know what, I understand it. But because we have so many, or it's the Euro, or it's the Nation League, or it's the Club World Cup, or it's this, or it's that, like it's breaking the momentum of club football. And it's like, what do we do this weekend? We're going to wait. We're going to see. Estonia, Italy. Great. Then I got to wait till Tuesday and see if Italy plays Israel at home.
Still a lot of rumors going on whether they're going to have to decide whether to keep Israel or start to ban them the way they've been doing for Russia the last couple of years. I have no idea. Even if they do ban them, Italy is pretty much lining themselves up with the fact that they're going to have to play into this playoff round again, where it's all we need, more stress. But all right, Steve, let's get to the topic now, because nobody cares about an international break. I know I don't. America's already qualified. Italy's in jeopardy. Ecuador's qualified already. I don't care about an international break. I hope all of Milan players just sit on the bench and never see the game. First, before we do, let's give a little love. The one-time autocorrect switch Calgary to Calgary, and it became an MWP staple. No, it didn't, Frank. It's just because I cannot pronounce Calgary correctly. I've resigned to the fact that it's just Calgary, Alberta, Canada. That's it. Like the great Bret Hart. Big ups to Davey as well. Keep up the great work. Forza Milan. Davey, you're the man. Frank and Dave, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Super chats. We appreciate it. All right, let's get to what we were naming this for, right? Because there's a lot of frustration after this game about what people decide to do on their free time. And maybe it's a little unfair. Maybe it's unjust, whatever you want to say. But when you don't produce on the field, people start to find things that they can call you out on. Now, let's show the difference here, right? Pulisic puts up a post later in the day after obviously feeling gut-wrenched the way we all felt. It kills me to let this club down, he writes. We'll work 10 times harder to make things right. Forza Milan sempre. I mean, I see that and I say, you know what? That's what I want from a person who had the opportunity to give us all 3 points, who made a terrible mistake, but he feels the weight of it. That's what we want. Somebody like that. Somebody who takes it seriously. Now, our friend Timmy, you know, Timmy's not shy about hiding how he feels about Leao, but he puts up the fact that Leao misses a couple of big chances and we're not getting any sort of outcry like that. Now, Leao had a kind of a, I don't want to say viral moment, but he did have a moment while he was on his Twitch or whatever the hell they call it nowadays, Kick, whatever the fuck it is. But he said that it's how important it is for the fans when they cheer. Their support, the players acknowledge it, and they're able to take that little extra when they're tired, and it's because of the fan support. Why we said the curva is so important. But what are your thoughts seeing this kind of contrast? Leao posts something about Theo Hernandez's birthday today. Not the fact that he shuffed, he just shanked two opportunities that would have bagged us for 3 points, and instead we get a Pulisic who is distraught, and a Leao maybe care less. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Honestly, I love the time when there was no social media. It's exactly for that. Because everybody's going to read into it in a specific way. Right? We're going to say, yeah, Pulisic put up a great post. Was it him? Is it him? Or is he as a great PR guy? Right? There's going to be the side that's going to say, this is exactly what I want. And then there's going to be the side of, wow, he has a really good PR guy who understands that this is what has to happen in Europe. You know, account for your mistakes and so on and so forth. The Leao thing, guys, is it's not new, right? It's not something that he's ever done except when he does the surfboard. My take on this is I want to go back in time where this is not an issue anymore. Because back when I watched soccer, you know, the only way I would have gotten some type of news on the players was I picked up a pink fucking newspaper, I looked at the scores. I looked who was the Capo Cannoniere. I looked where Milan was. I looked where everybody else was. I looked at what the games were the next week, and I didn't have to deal with this bullshit. Because this is pure bullshit. Because, like I said in the beginning, and I put it in the chat right away, the true title of this godforsaken podcast tonight should have been Stop with your fucking Twitch lives and start concentrating on the pitch. And it pisses me off because I enjoy and like and I'm happy for these players that they can, because they are kids in the end and they can use their platform for good. But for God, help us all. Get yourself a PR guy, because there's a time and a place, right? You know, there's a time and a place, and Pulisic, I believe that it's him and his camp have the right attitude for what it is for Da Milan, and Leao, unfortunately, needs to fire whoever the PR person is for him, because the Twitch lives are not something that is going to be well received if the performances continue that way. Score those two goals, I will join you on the goddamn Twitch live. I don't even know how to join. I don't even know how to log on. But I will. But not after. It's similar, Fabio, to like North American sports or even now in Europe. When the result is negative, the last thing you want to see is pictures from the paparazzi of someone in a club dancing and having a drink. It's unfortunate, but this is what we've come to, because their lives are under a microscope because of the little telefonino, and now I need to know everything that you're doing all the fucking time, and I will judge you. You will be judged on every single little thing you do. So for me, my take is I want them gone. During the season, gone. After the season, go ahead. You don't have a game. You're in midweek. We don't play Champions League. We don't play nothing. You want to do something? Go ahead.
See, I half agree. I also think it's probably a little unfair because, again, being a guy in his mid-20s, this is what they know. This is the environment of the world right now. Now, would I love a little more Mamba mentality, as our friend Gio would love to say? Of course. I want to see a guy who is just obsessed with winning, turning things into more motivation to get his craft even more honed, so next time when he has the opportunity, he doesn't let us down. And yeah, maybe Leao is a little carefree this way. You know, he's never posted necessarily about, you know, his faults or mistakes. Maybe he doesn't want to put himself under a microscope like that. Pulisic feels singularly responsible because it was his job to finish that penalty. And he felt, again, I know I was only 9 years old, but that shank to the right, yeah, that was kind of Roberto Baggio-esque. I didn't like that. And Di Gregorio was going the wrong way. It was an empty netter. Just had to bury it. That you can understand the frustration and disappointment because you feel like you let the fan base down. And the fact that he put it out there to me makes me love Pulisic a little more, knowing that he's not that vocal leader, but we need Leao. I know everybody's he's smiling. I don't want to see him smiling. I don't give a fuck about seeing him smile. I want to see him angry. I want to see him looking like he wants to kill the other team. Like, that's what I want. I want the Mamba mentality. And if only Mamba was still alive to see his beloved Milan like this. It's just, again, Leao has won already in this league. He knows what it takes to be the best. Can he replicate it ever again? That's the real question. I don't know. But as a personal pride, you see an American come in, and he seems to be the number one player on the team. You see a 40-year-old who's won more than you've ever dreamed of winning, won a Ballon d'Or, won Champions Leagues, and he's still going out there with the passion and fight to find the victory. And he gave it to you on a silver platter, and you fucked it up. It's frustrating, Steve. It's very frustrating.
Very frustrating, and I agree. And That's why I think it should just go away. And the smile, apparently, look, and it's funny you bring this up because it was something that I, you know, I love in terms of like, again, there's a time and a place, right?
Yeah.
But apparently the smile is like a tick. It's like a twitch. It's a tick. So certain players have ticks when they're playing on the pitch. It's nerves. His is a smile. Almost when like someone goes to a funeral and can't stop laughing. That's the type of tick that he has. He can't. He smiles. And he says it's God that makes him smile because he loves soccer. When he's feeling down, he loves soccer and thinks about soccer. When he's feeling happy, he thinks about soccer. So the smile started. And I don't think the smile is going away. I can live with the smile. I can live with the smile. I can't live with the body language and the lackluster performances that we saw against Juve this weekend.
I agree. All right, let's move to our Super Chats and Patreon questions. First, we're going to get to the Patreon. And being that this guy is still a Patreon, we got to give him his moment. We have no questions for anybody. This is shout out to all of our Patreons. Become a little more active in the chat. Answer in there, man. Let's get your questions out there. It's what you people are here. But of course, who's the only Patreon that answers?
Tonight is, are people finally going to put respect on Gavi's neck? Like I said before, we're from Bergamo. We put the construction boots on, construction boot hat on, and we go to fucking work. It's not pretty. It's damn sure ugly. But we get the job done, man. What a warrior he is. And would you sell it out to bring in other quality players? Because I think this was a game that we needed the cherry on top. And boy, he was the shit on top.
Oh, man. So we'll get to the second part. But just, of course, Gio has to glaze Gabby. Of course, I mean, this guy's been doing it for over a year at this point. But he does have some point. Gabby has been putting in great work. No mistakes, nothing to say bad, been leading the line, even though he's second, third captain. Let's be honest, if Mike and Leao, please. I mean, Gabby is more of a captain than these two guys are right now. But what are your thoughts on Gabby so far?
I think the less we hear his name, the better it is.
Absolutely.
And that's just the mark of someone who's doing his job, staying out of trouble. The less we hear of Gabby, the better it is. Gio can send a message every week if he wants. What I'm going to piggyback that on, and again, it might be a point, but I think it's a good way to bring it up. I need to understand what their plan is with Samuel Ricci. Because now this will be game number two against two top-class opponents, and he has not played a minute. And, you know, he's putting his trust in Ruben Loftus-Cheek coming in off the bench, or Fofana, who have not done, you know, okay, Fofana does score, the score from time to time, Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Again, these guys here, are they the future of Milan? Like, we can't do this to our youth. And if Ricci is a part of this project for the long term, he needs to find minutes. Now, coming back from international break, correct me if I'm wrong, is that Fiorentina? Is that the Fiorentina game?
I believe so. I think Fiorentina is our next match.
We need to find this kid minutes. Because once we bring him in, yes, it's not the lumberjackism of the Ruben Loftus-Cheek and the Fofana. Like, Timmy, Ricci isn't ready. He's been playing in the league longer than Fofana and Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
See, but the problem that I think, Steve, is that Ricci, maybe Allegri sees him as Modric's replacement, that he finds it, for some reason, difficult to play the two of them at the same time. The only
There is no on this team, if for the past, since we got rid of Andrea Pirlo, there has been no replacement up until this date. We have not had one person anywhere close to what Pirlo did than what we had now at Modric at 40 years old. I'm not comparing, fucking internet, don't do this. I'm not comparing Pirlo and Modric. I think they're very similar in the way they look the games, but very different as well of the way they approach what they want to do. But Modric takes control of the game at 40 years old. Ricci is not that type of player. He has skills. He has grinta to recuperate balls. It's kind of what you want to see in that person who's playing side by side with Modric. That, like Fofana. We don't need Fofana to touch the ball. We don't need Ruben Loftus-Cheek to play where he's playing right now. We need to integrate Samuel Ricci into this team because it will up the quality of a midfield that's already doing a good job. He needs to find minutes.
You know what? I don't disagree with that. I wouldn't go as far as saying I feel Fofana's grown as the season has gone on. He's played pretty good. I'm not going to discredit what he did just last week. And he's been doing all right. I would just say, how do you not find any time at all to get Ricci into these games? And are we so incapable of being able to switch from a 3-5-2? We can't switch to a 3-4-3, especially where it would help Leao to put him back on the left wing side. Maybe play Ricci with Modric in the middle and let your wingers kind of go. Do we really need to play Fofana? I mean, I wouldn't take out Rabiot. Excuse me. Rabiot has to stay in. So maybe you go Modric, Rabiot, and then there's going to be at some point where you have to start giving time to Modric to take him out. You can't keep riding him the full 90 minutes. Let's at least give the last 15, 20 minutes to Ricci, get him into the game. Or same for Rabiot. Take out Rabiot, put Ricci in, let Modric and him work together. Just so many questions. Let's get to the second half of Gio's question or comment, whatever. But Adrian, thank you so much. Viva Italia. And of course, great show, guys. Thank you, Adrian. We appreciate your super chat, man. Keep them coming, baby. Keep them coming. But would you sell Leao? I know this is always a conversation. We always have to get back to this. I mean, we don't even have extra forwards. So we're going to sell one of our best, but our... Again, six games in, we're already talking about selling one of our key players. Any weight to this?
150 million.
You want the clause to be triggered if we're going to sell him. All right.
Yeah. That's you want him? Enough. 150 million. Hey, everybody else gets it. Isaac got it. Fucking that's Isaac. True. Liverpool said, hey, Newcastle, take fucking 170 something million fucking pounds and do what the fuck you want with it. Because we're going to take your Isaac. Oh, but we already had another guy that we signed in the summer, and he's better than Isaac, so Isaac sits on the bench. Guys, I'm going to turn around. You're going to see the name. I hope you're going to see the name. I'm going to... Presidente, this is because I got up, not because the sound screwed up, okay? I'm going to have to squat here.
Show him the name. There it is, Von Boston. I mean, if we had a Von Boston, we'd be set right now.
If we had Van Basten, we would have already had two stars. We would have had 13 Champions Leagues. But not only that, Fabio. If Isaac is 176 million, fucking Isaac. Van Basten is 1.7 billion.
The whole team worth, Mahiga.
Is the whole team. Right? And Nick put in a good one there. If Isaac is 176 million, Pipo Inzaghi is 276 million.
But these Premier League
buys, the prices are out of this world.
Out of control. All right, here we go. We're down to our final minutes here. It's extra time, so final thoughts. I'll go first and give you the final words here. I just want to say, everybody, again, if you haven't heard, if you don't know, I'm a part of the New York City Club. There it is right there. You want a lovely scarf like this? You want some of our new merch? Go check out AC Milan NYC on Instagram and on Twitter and all the socials. The only way to get this sort of merch is one way only. You have to come to the Football Factory of Legends, 33rd and 5th Avenue. Come see the club. The next event, obviously, will be Milan Fiorentina on the 19th, that Sunday at 2:45. So come to the bar. Come see the boys. There's always somebody there. And there's great new merchandise to see. Great new thing. Beautiful design by our friend Carr. I mean, just amazing. Franco's doing his best to get it all out there. You got to be there. Go check it out. And just a great atmosphere. What I love most is that when the club is packed to the gills like it was yesterday, that means Milan is back. And you know what's great, Stevie? And this makes me laugh. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say this. And shout out to my uncle, my padrino, my uncle, Vincenzo Messina out there. Just another birthday. Happy birthday to Enzo. I hope you're happy. Juve got you a point. That's all they could muster. Happy birthday to you yesterday. But my uncle doesn't waver, and he tells it how it is. Look, he listens to the show because he loves his godson, and I love him for it. But he always says, this layout is not it. This guy decides to show up whenever he wants, and it's just not good enough. And you know what? Juve fans, they're the same way. Because the Juve fans at the New York City Club, they don't show up either. They didn't show up yesterday. A very minuscule group of people showed up to the almost 100 people Milan had there. So if you want, please come check it out. Anytime you're in the greater New York area, Football Factory, Legends Bar, 33rd and 5th Avenue. What's your final word, Steve?
Quick. 3-1. Milan Club Montreal. Chocharos. Go see Vinny. Vinny's there. Their beverages, food, fantastic. Chocharo Bar, Milan Club Montreal, guys. If you're in Montreal, Laval, get us in there. We're going to come out with some new merch. There might be a Milan Weekly podcast, Milan Club Montreal collab coming out soon. Number two, the goddamn newspapers in Italy have to stop. When Milan plays bad, no matter who they play against, it could be Lazio, it could be Roma, it could be Fiorentina, it could be Inter, it could be Juve, anybody. The narrative is Milan played bad. Yesterday, La Vecchia Signora. Oh, it was an even game. No, it wasn't even. Say the way it is. Report what you need to report. They could have lost that game 3-4-0 yesterday. Maybe we'll give them the one that Mike saved, the miracle. But the game could have easily been 3-1. Milan played what they needed to play, the tactics that they needed to play, that they wanted to play, to get what they wanted to get out of that Juventus game. They wanted to absorb pressure and kill them on the counter. They were completely useless. Jonathan David, he ate grass. He ate grass. Like it's not Canada anymore. It's not. You're not at Lille anymore. It's Serie A, Johnny. It's Serie A. Okay? It's the University of Calcio, baby. University of Calcio. And he's in the city because Canada plays Australia here Friday night. So send him this video. You're in Serie A, baby. University of Calcio. And the last thing, number three. Set pieces, guys. If I see anybody other than Luka Modric behind the set piece from now, match day 7 to match day 38, it's going to cost me a TV. We had a golden opportunity at, I cannot remember the exact minute, but behind this ball was Fofana, Jimenez, Pavlovic, who knows where he was, but we're not going to even count him. Fofana, Jimenez, so we're in before he got substituted, and Modric. In any video game out there, it's very logical who is going to take this free kick. It's going to be Modric. No, but not at Milan. We're going to make the Mexican striker who hasn't scored in 14 Paella years, we're going to have him have a go at it. Right, Fabio? Because things are going to change. Yeah, he's the next coming of Shevchenko. Guys, Milan needs to understand. We have a penalty shot taker. It seems like it's Pulisic. You're going to miss some. You're going to score some. We've suffered so long on set pieces, especially free kicks, for I can't even remember the last time we scored one. Now you have a world-class player who's, you know, scored some before and played on stacked teams at Real Madrid, and they gave him that confidence. I would think that the people here at Milan would give him that same confidence and give him a goal.
There's not much more to say than that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for watching. Thank you for commenting. Big ups to everybody for the Super Chats. Davey, Adrian, and of course, Facebook Encyclopedia, Frank GPT. Thank you all for the Super Chats. Keep them coming. Let's hit that goal of 250 before the 27th. So if you want to see Steve dressed up maybe as Galliani and Vinny as maybe Berlusconi, however they want to do it, or whoever they decide to be for Halloween this year, if you want to see it, help us with the Super Chats. Thank you all for watching. As always, ovunque e sempre.
Forza Milan.
Forza Milan, everybody. Good night.